Hello and welcome to the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Josh Dominic, and I'm here with Fabian. It is a huge, huge week for the podcast this week, and that is because it is both of our birthdays this week.
Jeez, April gang. April gang.
Aries gang in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Aries gang. So you already had your birthday. Happy belated.
Thank you.
My birthday will be tomorrow. So,
which I guess will be today when the podcast comes out.
That's so true. Like, yeah, my birthday is technically today.
If you're listening to the podcast today, like on launch day, please dive in the DMs and give Josh a big happy birthday.
DMs are open. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, man, like second lockdown birthday in a row for both of us.
I know. I was like, just thinking, like, literally we've had two although my lockdown birthdays have been very different, but that it's just crazy how quickly time flies by.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could keep ranting about that forever, but I literally feel like nothing has changed here in Europe, at least. Like it's I feel like deja vu, like it's the same story all over again. But anyways,
it'll come.
Yeah. Let's. There's too much, COVID news in the world. I don't want to talk about that here. We are here for sneakers. So as usual, we are going to start off talking about like any recent cops either of us have made over the last 2 weeks, some big sneaker news. The main topic for this week, and I want to actually give a shout out to the person on my Instagram. I couldn't find your username. I'm sorry, man, but one of you guys actually messaged me and told me to maybe talk about NFTs on the pod, how it relates to the sneaker world. So thank you, whoever you are, because that's the big topic for today. NFTs, one of the biggest topics in the world right now. So we're going to talk about how it kind of relates to the sneaker world, what it could mean for the sneaker world going forward. And as usual, we're going to end off the pod with all of the upcoming hottest sneakers over the next couple of weeks. So, all right, let's get into like basically the last 2 weeks. Did you cop anything, Fabian?
So I didn't like cop any sneakers per se, because obviously I'm still out on the Canary Islands. So like I'm going to start, picking stuff back up when I'm back in Berlin. But like you said, it was my birthday on April 2nd. And my latest pickup is pretty sick. My girlfriend, grandma, mom, and brother threw down to get me a PlayStation 5, which I'm pretty excited about. Well, like, nice. Got the money for one when it becomes available for retail, because I refuse to pay resale for a PS5.
No, right? don't do that. Like, no. Like, they're gonna flood the market eventually. With
definitely. I mean, PS5s. It's like sneakers, if they're limited, okay, fine. Like, maybe pay resale, but a PS5 is a PS5. Like, it's no different to any other PS5 out there. And at some point, they're going to be easy to buy. Mm-hmm. So my pickup is not a sneaker, and it's also not in my hands right now, but I'm very, very excited to get my hands on a PS5. So if anyone knows about any restocks in Germany, in Europe, please, please, please let me know, because I am PayPal ready, as they say.
If I come across one, I'll let you know, man. I'll be honest. I am one of those guys who has resold PS5s over the last few months. So shout out to PS5s, man. Like, you guys, PS5 made me have a really good Christmas, because I resold a bunch of PS5s around Christmas time. But yeah, like, I wouldn't pay resale for one, man. No way.
Nah. But they are really, really cool. I played one at my friend's house. Shout out Paul. And yeah, it's totally next gen. Like, I know that, PC gamers will be like, oh, PCs are better. But as far as consoles go, PlayStation is definitely the best out there.
Yeah, me too. Definitely a PlayStation guy. As far as latest pickups for myself, there were a couple. The first was the Skepta. Air Max Tailwind 5 Skepta. It was his fifth collab already with Nike, which is nuts. Like, five collabs with Nike is you're moving into, like, I don't know, like, who's had five collabs with Nike? That's a lot of collabs.
Virgil Abloh's had like 50.
Yeah, true. Okay, yeah. But he's Virgil, right? Like,
but no, it's true though. But it's five over 4 years. I think they started in 2017 or something like that.
So yeah, 2017.
It's been pretty consistent, and I have to say, this latest one, in my opinion, is probably his best. I just love the blue and black upper.
Yeah, I still think the OG one is the best, the 97.
Bronze color?
The bronze one, the one that was like Morocco inspired. Mm-hmm. I own that shoe, and it's a shoe that it's actually one of the oldest shoes in my collection. I just can't bring myself to sell it. I really love it. But this one is definitely the second best, I think. Like the butterfly inspired upper, and it looks really tough with the black. You know, it's one of those shoes you got to wear with the tracksuit.
With the matching tracksuit, right? It's like his most roadman shoe yet, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, I would say so too. It's definitely the most roadman shoe yet. I'm a big Skepta fan too. So I was pretty happy to get that pair. And it was actually really easy to get. Like, it didn't really have any resale or anything.
Dude, I slept through it. Like, it dropped on my birthday and I really wanted it. And then because I'm an hour behind you guys, it dropped at 8 a.m. And obviously I'm not waking up at 8 a.m. on my birthday. Ah. So I on sneakers, at least I didn't sign up for any other raffles.
Wait, do you have a size? Do you wear, what's your size? Oh, you wear like one of those small sizes.
I mean, it's not small. It's a very medium size US 9.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I was going to say I had an extra pair of 11. So
like, no. But I think they're probably not going for too much over resale, right? Or like over retail.
So they're not.
Probably pick them up for like, I don't know, 20, 30 over, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that was one pickup, but the biggest pickup, oh man, I've been waiting for this one.
Oh, show me.
The foams, man.
Oh,
I got
nice.
the foam runners. So this was, I said it before, this was perhaps my biggest L of 2020, like the one sneaker that I really wanted to cop, but I missed out on. Because the OG pair, like pretty much no one in Europe actually got a pair. Like it only pretty much released on Yeezy Supply, I think. So I couldn't wait to cop these foams. I said from the first picture that these are fire when everyone else is trashing it. And I got to say, they kind of surpassed my expectations getting
them
in hand.
What's the comfort level?
Super comfortable, super, super comfortable. I love that you don't need laces. I love that you just literally slip your feet in them. I watched this interview by Kanye where he explains like the whole ergonomic design of the upper, like how it's designed to like not have a tongue and not need laces. Like it just fits your feet perfectly. And it really does. Like it's super soft. It's just like, I think it might end up being like the shoe I just kind of wear the most, like going forward rest of the year, because you just kind of slip your feet into them, walk out the house, you know? So
I have two questions for you. Number one, would you call it a shoe or a sandal?
So I call it a shoe, and that is because if you look at the bottom of the shoe, right, there's actually like, there's a lot of traction on the shoe. Like it's not the type of like, you know, sandals and flip-flops, like they don't have traction like this. This is like the same kind of traction you see on like a Yeezy 700 or pretty much any other Yeezy. So I think of it more as a shoe. Although like, I don't know, it's definitely a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
For sure.
But then, so that leads me to my next question. Do you wear socks when you wear them?
I mean, so far I've been wearing them with socks, but we'll see in the summertime, man. Like if I just want to, you know, like get a little breeze flowing through the toes. I don't know, man. Like I feel like I would wear them
without socks, I think, just because I'm also not, I actually hate socks. Like I'll wear no-show socks as much as I can. And yeah. I think socks are the least sexy piece of clothing, in my opinion, like out of all types of clothing. And so I would, like, any chance I get not to wear socks without my feet smelling bad, I will take it.
Yeah. You know,
because
I mean,
if you wear normal shoes without socks, sometimes your feet smell bad. So you have to wear socks. But like, I feel like these ones you can get away with not wearing socks.
The issue with not wearing socks though is like, I feel like this back part of the shoe, like I feel like that's kind of going to hurt your ankle quite a bit if you don't wear socks. Like it's not, I can definitely see this being like a big bother. Like a blister kind of thing. Exactly. Yeah. So I think socks are unfortunately a must with this. I even went ahead and this one I got for retail, this colorway, the moon gray, but I went ahead and bought the sand colorway because that's the one I kind of really wanted.
Yeah.
I bought that one off of StockX. So that hasn't arrived
yet. How much
is
that one going for?
Their prices dropped quite a lot. Okay. Like this is crazy to think about that I paid $250 for a pair of Crocs. But like if you look at like the OG one, the Ararat, like which is almost identical in terms of colorway to the sand, That one is going for like 800, like something insane.
It's crazy.
So like I'm like 250 for pretty much identical colorway. Like it reminded me of like, you know, when the Travis Scott Air Force Ones, the white one dropped, and that one was going for like 1,000. And then that sale colorway came, which looked almost identical, and that was going for like 250 to 300. And I just caught the sale. That's what it kind of reminded me of. So I'm like, okay, whatever, 250 is fine. It's my birthday week anyways.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty much my my biggest pickup. So let's kind of move into sneaker news. Sneaker news. Well, first of all, pretty slow week for sneaker news. Like not a whole lot happened. The biggest piece of news, our man Teddy Santos from MA Leon Dor. He just got a new position. And the new position is creative director of New Balance Made in America.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of, I think that was announced yesterday, maybe, or even like 2 days ago, something like that. Like
yesterday.
Very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a big move for New Balance, but also for Teddy, because, you know, he has collaborated with New Balance several times with his brand, obviously Aim Leon Dor. I personally wouldn't say the ALD collabs are the best, but they're definitely some of the most popular ones amongst New Balance collabs. I mean, what do you think? Like, are you feeling the move?
I'm just a little bit confused about one thing. Like, wait, is he leaving like ALD and joining New Balance? Is that what this announcement is?
No, he's going to be doing both. I think it, like a lot of announcements, like, I mean, you know, Kiko Kostadinov, he's at ASICS, right? He's doing his brand, but he's also doing ASICS. You've got Virgil at Off-White.
Okay.
So I think a lot of these designers are taking on these dual roles. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine, Bernard of Dead Hype in Berlin, and he brought this to my attention yesterday, which is funny because he was saying that a lot of these like not high-end designers, but these like very popular streetwear designers or designers that are popular with the streetwear and sneaker community are now being pulled in-house to these big brands. And you know, like Salehi kind of went the other way around. He was at Versace, now he's doing his own thing. But they're going to be doing, so I imagine he's going to be running ALD and doing the New Balance thing at the same time. Like I don't see him leaving ALD.
Well, because those other designers you mentioned, Kiko and Virgil, like to my knowledge, neither of them have an official position at the brands, right? But it looks like Teddy is actually getting a position. Like he's being hired. It's not just a collab. He's actually getting hired, and he's, I guess, like an employee of New Balance. So that's why I was thinking, like, wait, does this mean he's leaving ALD?
No, I think, I mean, obviously, I don't think they've announced like, or they've announced it, but they haven't gone into detail about how it's going to work. But I can see it being kind of more than like a consultant, but like less than a 9-to-5 sitting at his desk at New Balance
HQ
kind of job, right? Like he's gonna be doing like top line creative direction of the made in USA line. So he's basically probably gonna be not deciding himself, but like working with a team and saying like we should go in this direction and, you know, bring these shoes back or bring these shoes under the made in USA label. You know, maybe these are the colors that are gonna be hot. Like I don't know how much or like how detailed his work is gonna be, but I think it's gonna be very top line, kind of just steering that section of New Balance's business into a more cooler kind of street and fashion conscious direction, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, well, one thing's for sure, like, I mean, New Balance has had a lot of amazing collabs over the last year especially, but I think the ALD collabs are consistently like the best collabs that New Balance does.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, like, when have they missed on any New Balance collab? Like everything has been a hit. Even the upcoming one, this we got some more colorways coming of the ALD 550 New Balance, the 550s. Mm-hmm. And even those, like, those look so fire compared to any other of the GR colorways that are released of the 550s. These ALD ones, I don't know, Teddy just does something to these shoes to just make them look good. So I think it's a great move for New Balance, like to get like their best collabor in-house to kind of guide the direction of the brand. I think it's a great move for them.
I think though, like it needs to be clear though, that he's only, I mean, only right in quotation marks, doing the made in USA stuff. So I imagine it'll be mostly generally stuff that he has an influence on. I don't see him managing collaborations with other partners, you know? I could be wrong, but I think ALD as a brand will continue to collaborate with New Balance, like you said, some of the most popular collaborations in the last few years. And obviously sneakerheads and fans of both brands want to see more in the next few years. But as far as like other collaborators go, I think Teddy will be mostly focused on kind of like the shoes that are made in the USA and like those generalese silhouettes and colorways and that kind of stuff, which is cool for him because then he's moving away from like that exclusivity and he's having a lot more say in kind of the more widely available stuff that non sneakerheads like you and I will be buying, which is kind of where most brands want to go at some point, you know, to speak to mass market or at least to reach mass market in some way. And for him, that's through New Balance, through their Made in USA line. So definitely, I think the biggest news of the week, like you said, or the biggest news of the last 2 weeks, still kind of unclear exactly how it's going to work. But I think he starts the position in 2022. So there's plenty of time to speculate and, you know, time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, well, congratulations to him. That's a huge come up from starting his brand to now creative director at New Balance. That's a big deal. So congratulations to Teddy for sure. Besides that, I don't think there was any other major news worth talking about. So let's move on to our big topic, NFTs.
Yeah, I guess, why don't you give us and whatever listeners don't really know what NFTs are, the rundown on what non-fungible tokens are.
Yeah, so just a little background, guys. Like those of you who kind of follow my YouTube channel, you know I'm very much into crypto, probably even more so than probably even more so than sneakers, to be completely honest. So like this NFT thing, I've been definitely kind of following the space recently. And first of all, it's got a lot of hype over the last month, but this is like not new. Like NFTs have actually been around since 2012.
Okay, didn't know that.
Back then, like the first NFTs technically to come out were these things called colored Bitcoins. So they were marked in certain ways. And anyways, the boring stuff, long story, but they've been around for a really long time, but they've only now started to kind of get a lot of hype. So for everyone listening, I'm sure you've heard this term a lot over the last couple of weeks, NFTs. I'll just try my best to kind of explain it very quickly what it really is. So an NFT, like you know, it means a non-fungible token. Well, what does fungible mean? That's it's kind of like a engineering word. The best way to kind of explain it is, let's say you have like a $100 bill and you put it on a table that's full of other $100 bills and you just kind of mix it up around and you just pull one $100 bill out of there and walk away. It doesn't matter to you which $100 bill you picked out because they're all worth the same. So $100 bills in essence are fungible. So it means like they're all worth exactly the same. It doesn't matter which one you pick out. It doesn't matter that your $100 bill is lost in there. So it's different for things like art. So if I were to take like the authentic Mona Lisa and drop it in a table full of these other Mona Lisas that were downloaded off Google Images and mix it all around, and I can't just pull out any Mona Lisa out of there because that authentic Mona Lisa means something. It's worth something. It has a lot more value. So there is some kind of value to authenticity. And in that case, art is basically non-fungible. So what NFTs are? NFTs are basically like, it's like a cryptographic record of the authenticity and the ownership of a digital asset. Okay, so basically like they've been using NFTs nowadays mainly for things like digital art, music, and the NBA has been using it for like video clips. So essentially all these forms of art, like a music file, for example, they can be copied and pasted and reproduced hundreds and thousands of times, right? However, what an NFT does is the NFT is like a record of like who actually owns that music file. So who actually owns the authentic original music file? So is it worth something? It's essentially like, it's pretty much just bragging rights if you think about it. So it's like, yeah, everyone in the world can listen to this music file, but I am the rightful owner of this music file. So it's only worth something if other people in the world think it's worth something. So like if there's people out there who think there is some value in actually owning this music file and they're willing to pay thousands of dollars for it, which is what's happening now, then the NFTs are worth something. So right.
It's only worth whatever someone is willing to pay for it.
Exactly. Because essentially, like I just said, it doesn't mean a whole lot, except it's like, it's essentially like bragging rights that you own this digital asset. Okay. So like what we're seeing now, is there's this market has just exploded. Like people are putting in tons and tons and tons of money. We've seen basically the NBA, they've released this thing called Top Shot. Have you heard of Top Shot?
Yeah. It's honestly the stupidest thing.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, don't get why people are paying money for this. Like someone explained.
It's like the highlight thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I get like NFTs and like having, so like, let's say Murakami did do his first NFT. And that's a one of one digital thing. And if you buy that, you are the only person who owns it, or you're the first person who owns it. I get that, right? But this Top Shot thing, they're selling NBA highlights, right? So you can own a LeBron James dunk. And I think one of those sold for like over $100,000 or something like that, something crazy.
$208,000 specifically.
Right? And okay, fine. Like you said, it comes down to bragging rights, but these highlights, literally go on Reddit NBA, go on YouTube, and you can find that same clip. Sure, yeah. It's not the clip. It's not the official clip.
Yeah.
But I don't get how somebody would pay for something that's so widely available, pirated or otherwise, online. I get the Murakami thing because that's like he made one and he's selling one file or one painting or whatever it is digitally. But this highlight is so stupid.
But even going back to the Murakami thing, like, what if, like, I mean, that particular file, a lot of people could potentially see that file. Like if I were to, I don't know the name of this painting, but if I were to Google it, I would see an image of it, right?
Right, yeah.
So, like, it's...
I think so.
Yeah,
and like, I get it. Or you could take a screenshot of the thing and then send it to someone and they would have the exact same thing.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing about this NFT. It's that, like, everyone can kind of see the art, but... apparently there's value in owning the original or claiming to be the owner of the art. So there's people now are putting a lot of money into that aspect. So like owning the asset is worth a lot of money now. So which yeah, when it comes to the clips, like really, like you're going to pay $200,000 for a clip of LeBron James dunking. And you know what the crazy part is? Like the NBA is literally just printing money because like the people who buy these clips, they don't even have the rights to the clip. Like they can't, like, for example, sell this clip to like NBC or ESPN or something and like get the distribution rights of the clip. Like the NBA still owns that. So
they're just buying the fact that they bought it. Right.
That's it. So like going back to what I said, this NFT thing is just a bragging rights thing. So
it's ridiculous.
It's you're paying all this money to say that, hey, I own the original. I own the authentic version. All right. So I mean, that's essentially what NFTs are. So bringing it back to sneakers, we've actually already started to see NFTs pop up in sneakers. So most recently, so there's this group called RTFKT. So it's a group of 18-year-old designers, digital artists. And what they essentially did was they drew, they designed like some Air Force Ones, some custom Air Force Ones, and some Air Jordan Ones, like just some kind of digital images of them. and they sold these for, from what I saw, $10,000 each, and they sold 600 of them. So they generated a lot of money. I don't know, do the math. Apparently they generated like $3 million in revenue from selling these digital images. And they sold each one of these, and you can Google it. Like, it's like some, it looks like some preschool kid like drew some Air Force One. So yeah, they were able to sell not even real sneakers, just digital sneakers for $10,000 each. Like, if you were to go to StockX right now, for $10,000, you could buy the Off-White Air Force One, plus the Off-White Jordan 4, plus like a bunch of other sneakers, man, for 10K. You could buy real sneakers, but people are paying 10K for a digital sneaker. So of course, like, I definitely think like the whole NFT market is like in a big bubble right now, like, because there's 100%. There's a lot of hype on it for sure. But I kind of just wanted to talk about like the whole kind of sneaker culture right now. So sneaker culture right now has kind of become, it's not so important anymore to actually own the sneaker. So this whole hype culture, like, basically people now are like, sneakers are already kind of performing like NFTs. So people are selling sneakers that they buy online. They sell it before they even get them in hand. So that, like, if you go on like eBay or whatever website, you can see like people just posting screenshots of their order, like the confirmation. Exactly, yeah. Right. So people are already like trading these assets like before they get them, right? And even like for the person who's like the final user, the person who actually gets the shoe, like, it's more about like capturing that moment and saying that, hey, I was able to cop those Jordans, I was able to cop those Off-Whites. You're going to do like a couple of pictures on your IG, and then it's kind of just going to go get stored in your whole collection of sneakers, and you're probably going to wear it like 3 or 4 times. So,
right. But you do wear them, right? One or two times.
Yeah. But why? But sneakers. But, yeah, no, I get it. But why are you wearing them? You're wearing them to kind of show up. Exactly, for clout, to kind of, which goes back to the whole thing about NFT, like, it's just clout.
There's parallels for sure, 100%. Yeah, yeah, like, but at like, the end of the day, like, you can wear the shoes, you can't wear the digital sneakers. But I know
you can still wear it, but in both cases, it's just about saying that I own it, right? Like, like you're just posting a couple of pictures on your IG, and then it's not going to be on your IG ever again. So it's like, it's kind of similar in that sense, like the way the sneaker world kind of behaves right now. So like that's just something I kind of noticed. As far as like, I wanted to actually also talk about potential uses for NFTs in the future for the sneaker world. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a little bit of research, and it turns out Nike back in December of 2019 already filed a patent to sell digital-based crypto goods, they called it, and they have something called Crypto Kicks that was part of the patent, and it's very murky like what they plan to do, but it's definitely in Nike's plans to start selling digital assets because they've already filed a patent for it. So like, what I think companies like Nike and Adidas could do is they could start like releasing sneakers like first digitally, so you buy the rights to the sneaker. And later on, the sneakers, like at some X amount, like some undisclosed day in the future, the sneakers actually get produced and you get them. If that even is the case, because as we've seen, like, it doesn't even matter whether it's a physical kick or not. Like, it could be that you just own the digital asset. But like, basically, I could see these companies start releasing sneakers online digitally first, and you buy the rights to own them, and then later on you actually get them. Yeah. That could be like, that might actually be a good thing, and I'll get into that later. But that's one way that I could see sneaker companies doing that. And another way is, you know, like, there's a lot of, in the NBA, you see a lot of players have these like player edition kicks that like you only see like one or two times, and it never actually gets produced. Like, yeah, you see like a couple players wear like some Lakers edition or like some special Houston Rockets edition sneaker. Yeah, and like it PJ never
Tucker.
Exactly. And these sneakers never actually hit the open market. Well, now Nike can, you know, release the NFT for that sneaker. And at the same time, like PJ Tucker is like wearing it on the court. So Nike never, like, they don't technically even need to produce that sneaker. They can just say, hey, like, we're not going to produce this sneaker, but you over there, you can say that you own it, or at least own that the digital version of it. So like NFTs to me are a way for so many companies to just print money. Like you can literally release so much intellectual property and just create NFTs for it. So I can kind of see that happening. Like, what do you think?
I think that it's true. Like, it's definitely a moneymaker for a lot of brands, but it's only a moneymaker as long as people are interested, right?
Yes.
And I think, like you said, you know, there will always be a certain degree of like bragging rights and you buy it for clout and that kind of stuff. But beyond that, I think that NFTs can actually serve a purpose while still staying digital. You know, like, I know I was saying a lot like, oh, you can't wear digital sneakers, right? But I think an interesting use for them is like gamifying them. So making it like a collectibles or a trading card kind of game where you know, these brands will release sneakers on their own platforms or on a centralized platform that kind of like, I don't know, let's say like, I don't know, Foot Locker or Sneakers and Stuff, or like some, like launches a platform where you can buy like actual digital sneakers from these actual brands. And, you know, like an Air Force One drops and there's only 300 of them. And so only 300 people are able to cop, you know, through a raffle system or a auction system or whatever, however they want to do it. Right. And then you can start trading these digital assets. So you can trade the Air Force One for a Nike Air Max 90 or like plus cash or just straight up cash or whatever. I think gamifying it would be a cool way to do it, either, like I just said, with the trading aspect, or if Nike drops like a, I don't know, like how cool would it be if Nike dropped like a game, that like a Skepta game, and you as you advance through the game, you get like specific or certain NFTs, or you know, you get a high score on this level, and so you unlock like the latest Air Max Tailwind 5 Skepta, but in that red and black colorway that didn't drop, right? Like the, or like a friends and family pair or something like that. I think that would be a cool kind of, I don't know, maybe even mid to long term way of making NFTs enjoyable for people. And I know that, like, you know, like kids these days, but like kids love like mobile games and like playing like random like shit on their phones or on the computers. And I think if you gamify NFTs, especially digital sneakers, I think that could be a really cool, and what I would then consider like a useful use for these NFTs.
Yeah, like that's actually a really interesting idea, like the whole gamification aspect. Like I kind of like when I think about like long-term implications, like let's say I'm thinking like really long-term here. So let's say every single sneaker releases like this, like releases in this way, which is they each need to be basically backed by an NFT, right? Like that, I think would have a lot of potential positive benefits for sneaker collectors, because I think it would essentially completely eliminate fakes from the market. So if Nike releases like 600 pairs of the Off-White 4s and there's 600 NFTs for these Off-White 4s. So essentially, like, you know that you're getting an authentic pair. So basically, like, you won't be able to buy another pair on the resale market if it's not backed by the NFT. So, right. So, and it also, it kind of completely eliminates all the incentives to sell fakes too, because let's say I own like one of these NFTs and I own the sneaker and now I want to sell my NFT and make some money. Like, let's say if I want to cheat, so I sell the NFT to someone, but then I send them a fake pair. I don't actually send them the real pair, right? I still have the real pair, but what that real pair now has no value anymore, because I sold the NFT for it. So
unless I want to wear it,
sure. But like if I want to, like,
yeah, no monetary value. Yeah.
It has no monetary value anymore. And meanwhile, that guy who got like a fake pair, he has the NFT too. So he still has the value for that pair. It's like he still has the digital rights to that pair. So I think it could potentially eliminate that. And the other thing it could do, like if I'm StockX right now, I would be scared. Like I would be scared shitless, because if this NFT thing becomes the norm in sneakers and becomes a standard in sneakers, there's literally no need for StockX anymore, because there's literally no need for a third party to verify sneakers. And also there's no need for a third party trading platform, because you can just trade sneakers on the blockchain. So like there's like essentially StockX, if NFTs become huge in the sneaker world, StockX and these reselling platforms become worthless, in my opinion. So those are kind of like long-term implications I could see
that's
happening.
Like long-term, yeah. Because you would also like, I mean, I guess older sneakers won't have NFTs to back them. Or are you suggesting that older sneakers that release will then have an NFT that follows up? You know what I mean? Because like you could still, let's say your Off-White Air Jordan 1s, right? You have those, they don't have an NFT backing them. So you, like, let's say 5 years down the line, you still need somewhere to sell them on, right? And if everything's moved past StockX, then like, what do you do?
Yeah, for sure. For the older sneakers that, no, and you can't really release an NFT for a sneaker that's already released. So,
right.
Like, those ones will still have a market, of course. Yeah.
But it is interesting. I think especially because NFTs have received, or like there's so much hype around them now. And I feel like also I'm a little skeptical. Like you said, like I was surprised to hear that they've been around for since 2012, just because the hype is so big now. I thought it was like a pretty new thing, but I think a lot of NFTs out there are just stupid. Like we said, like the Top Shot NBA thing. But like most kind of hype trends, once that starts to die down a little bit, it'll separate, I think, the really useful and inventive NFTs from the shit NFTs. And
yeah, I think so too.
It won't be as flooded anymore as it is now. I think it's too crazy right now, but that will definitely, I think, change over time, or like settle a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. Like if anyone remembers like the 2017 like Bitcoin craze, when everyone was talking about it, you remember around that time, like there were so many what they called ICOs, like every other day there was like a new coin being released, and like the hype on them were crazy. People were putting their life savings into it. Yeah. This whole NFT thing kind of just reminds me of that. Like that's what's happening right now. There's a lot of hype in this NFT thing. And eventually, like you said, like the cream will rise at the top, and the good uses of NFTs will eventually become like prominent, and they'll become like kind of like how Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, separated themselves from all the other shit coins. Like that's kind of what I see happening also in the future for NFTs, like you said.
Yeah. I think it will definitely be interesting to follow in the next, you know, months, years, and see what happens. I don't know. Do you think that the cream will rise to the top sooner rather than later? Like, what do you?
No, I still think there's a while to go, because I think like we're just seeing the start of this whole NFT thing, because so many companies are going to realize now that it's so easy to make money. Like you don't even need to worry about manufacturing. Like it's literally design something on your computer and you can sell it for thousands of dollars. Like you don't even need to create that product. You don't even need to give them the rights to that product. Like it's ridiculous. So I think like there's going to be a lot more companies entering the space, not just sneakers. I see like fashion coming into it. I see a lot of other types like coming into it, and it's going to get to a bubble. It's already at a bubble, but I think the bubble still has room to grow before popping.
Do you think that the brands will dominate that market, or will it be kind of dominated by, or will independent creatives and stuff like that have some market share, or will brands come and be like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, you know, Nike dropping NFTs, and now all other like creative independent NFT sneaker people are just kind of boxed out of the market.
Yeah. I unfortunately see like it's going to get taken over by brands eventually. Mm. If like it's already starting to. So like if you're an independent artist out there, like get it now.
cash out
right now and get your NFTs started right now before the brands come and gentrify it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely interesting one to keep an eye on. So I guess that covers a crash course on NFTs.
Yeah, no, sorry, guys. I didn't expect this to be like a crypto episode, but it turned out that way. But,
no, but I think, I mean, it's relevant, right? Like people are talking about it. And I think a lot of people also have a lot of questions about it too. Like they don't know what they are or why they're so valuable. And I think we covered it, you know, to a decent extent today. Maybe we'll do a follow-up episode later down the line. Let's talk about upcoming real drops, not NFT drops. What's on your radar?
Physical sneakers. So like next 2 weeks, April looking like a pretty slow month, to be completely honest. Over the next 2 weeks, like this weekend, we're going to see Raging Bull 5s, which is one of the most, I guess, coveted Jordan 5s of all time, just an all over red upper. That one, like for the 5 collectors out there, I think the last time the sneaker released was when, like before 2010, I think
it was 2010 or like 2008 to 2010, something like that.
Right. Yeah. It's been a while. So like the 5 collectors have been waiting for this one. Pretty good year for 5s, I would say. Like I kind of really like that Stealth 2.0 pair as well that dropped.
Those are pretty nice.
Yeah. Those are releasing April the 10th. We also got, there's going to be like another dunk day, you know, like, man, Nike has just given us so many dunks and like almost too many, if you ask me. But it looks like on April the 16th, there's going to be another massive dunk dump on the market. Like basically there's going to be like a low top version of the Spartan Greens releasing. There's going to be a low top of the Michigans. There's another like pistachio colored pair, which is called the Green Glow. And and I think, and also the yellow canary dunk highs are going to be dropping. I don't think they're going to be called canaries. They're called something else, but it's basically like a yellow dunk high, and which is a super nice colorway. There's 5 in total dunks dropping on this day. What do you think about Nike's like strategy this year with the dunks? Like I understand like, okay, like wanting to, you know, release a lot more dunks, but what do you think about how they're doing it? Like 5 colorways on the same day. This is already the second time this year we've seen that.
I mean, it's smart, you know, like, I mean, the way they've built up the hype and now they're just cashing in. Like it's very obvious they're cashing in. You've said it. Other people have said it online. The quality on these new dunks is trash compared to last year's dunks. Like it's more of like a rubber than a leather.
Yeah.
I think it's cool for people who missed out last year that now, like, you know, people can get them at Foot Locker. They can get them at other retailers. They're much more widely available. People have a higher chance of getting them. You know, they're still retailing for on StockX, at least for like 100% over retail, you know, for the most part, which, you know, says that, you know, they're still relatively hype, but compare that to, you know, summer 2020 when they, you know, when the dunks and the SB dunks were going for like $1,000 or $800 or whatever, dollars or euros, the hype has definitely fallen. It peaked last year, but I think the hype is still big enough for them to sustain these kinds of drops. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm just kind of over it. I'm sick of seeing dunks. I'm calling it dunk fatigue. I'm just done with dunks.
Yeah, I agree, man. There's way too many. Like I when I look at my channel this year too, like every other video is just a dunk video, and I'm just like, man, this is what kind of year is this? Like it's just dunk.
You're
gonna
look back at it in like 5 years and be like, damn, like that was a lot of like it was a real dunk dump, as you just said.
Yeah. also on April the 17th, we got perhaps the nicest Jordan 1 releasing this year, the Hyper Royal. I don't know if you looked at that one already, but it's like,
yeah,
it's like I think it's a super, super nice colorway. And it might be maybe after the neutral grays, it might be like the second best favorite colorway of mine so far this year. It reminds me a lot of the Turbo Greens that dropped a couple of years ago. Yeah, like it's got this like faded colorway on the top. I like this pair a lot. I'm really hoping for a personal pair. So
well, I hope that they're more comfortable than the neutral grays. I saw your Instagram story about those. You had to like wear them in for like 2 weeks or something like that.
I kind of stopped wearing that shoe, if I'm gonna be completely honest, man. Like it's painful, man. It's painful, like really painful to wear that. So yeah, hopefully it is a lot more comfortable. I think it will be. And we also have a Yeezy, the Yeezy 700 V1 in the bright blue colorway. It looks like some kind of Smurf shoe. The upper is like just all bright, like it's actually bright blue, like the colorway says. And the
Yeezy colorways suck. Like the ones that are coming out, like they just look like they've been left out in the sun for too long, and they've been like dropped in a puddle of blue dye or something. Like they've just been really bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, I personally agree. Like, especially the one you're referring to that was left out in the sun. Like, I think that was actually called the sun colorway.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, a bit too loud for me. This bright blue one, I think, is even worse. Like, it's really difficult to wear a shoe like that. Like, what do you possibly wear the shoe with? You know? But. Besides these colorways though, like they've been dropping some decent ones, like the 700 V2, the cream one was like super clean, really yeah. Nice pair.
There's a see-through one coming out as well, like a 700 V2, like a translucent kind of upper.
Oh, you know, really? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there's you know where like the stripes are on the side that like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the laces are.
Yeah.
That part is kind of see-through, translucent, and you can see into the shoe a little bit. It looks really, really cool. It's a kind of like a beige gray colorway as well. So it's like a very neutral color. So those are definitely going to be cool once they drop, probably at some point later this year. But on my list for the next few weeks is Bape is dropping ABC Camo Bapestas in like a nice high quality white leather base with green, blue, and pink swooshes or shooting stars, whatever you want to call them. And I think those are really cool because they've kind of gone back to the OG shape. Like the Bapesta used to have like a really nice like Air Force One shape. And then over the last like, you know, 5, 6 to 10 years, they've kind of gone away from that shape. And it's been kind of this weird, like it just looked like a fake Air Force One. So they've gone back to the original shape, which I'm a big fan of. And then another pair that I'm looking forward to, I don't know if you mentioned the UNC4s. I think they're dropping end of April, April 28th or something like that.
Yep, yep, they are.
Those are going to be so good. Like, I don't know if I can wear bright blue shoes, but as far as 4s go, these are so nice. Like, the blue suede, really, really, really nice.
They look amazing. Also, from what I read, it's looking like it's going to be a pretty... like not so limited release, like it's pretty general release, so I don't think resale is going to be too high on it, but
that's good.
But like I feel like it's gonna be one of those shoes that I just love looking at and looking at the pictures, but then once I get them in hand, like I'm gonna look at it and think like, yeah, how am I gonna wear this? Like it's really difficult to wear a pair of like bright blue shoes, you know what I
that's
mean?
That's true. Unless you play for the Tar Heels and, you know, you're like wearing them on the court, I think it's going to be really difficult for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so the last shoes that I want to talk about today are the Yeezy 450 slides that Kim wore.
Oh.
I'm going to show these to you. I don't know if you saw these on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw them.
So she posted Kim Kardashian posted these, I think, today or yesterday. And we've seen them before, but now you see them in a yellow colorway. We're going to post these on Instagram tonight, by the way. So I guess when you're listening to this, it'll be yesterday. But I like the foam runners cool, but these are like next level. These are so cool.
What? Really? You love them?
Yeah, I love them, man. Like I love the 450s back when they were called the 451s or whatever. And like I just love like the craziness of them, that they're so different, and that's what, for me, that's what Yeezy and Adidas like stand for, kind of just making crazy shit and letting Kanye do whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, I love that Yeezy does that.
Yeah, and so these slides are just the epitome of Yeezy for me in the last 6 years, you know, or 7 years, whenever it was. I think 2014 was the first Adidas Yeezy. So I'm very much looking forward to these. I think Kim posting them on Instagram means that hopefully they're coming out soon. You never know, but definitely fingers crossed that these are dropping.
I think they're going to come out soon. I don't know. I was a fan of the original Yeezy slides for sure, but these, to me, it looks like you're wearing like cheese on your feet.
Like melted cheese.
Like right? Melted cheese, right? Yeah.
So good. So good. Oh, man. I can't wait. No, but that's it on my like cop list. Kind of just a couple basic shoes and then the melted cheese Yeezy slide.
Yeah, that's about it for me too for drops of the next 2 weeks. So, I mean, I think that pretty much wraps up this week. Slightly different pod.
Wrap it up.
Okay.
No, as in like, because you said that wraps it up. So I was like I was making these, wrap it up.
Yeah. I'm like, looking at you like, what are you doing?
I've also had a bit to drink. So.
Yeah, man. I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous that you're still in the Canary Islands, but yeah,
I'll be back soon. Don't worry.
That wraps it up, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know if you enjoyed this week's pod. And you know what, like I mentioned to that guy who suggested the topic for this week, feel free to send pod suggestions as well in the DMs. If you have any topics that you want us to cover that you think are interesting, we're talking about that relate to the sneaker world, we would love to hear your feedback. So thank you once again. And of course, give us a 5-star rating, please, on Apple Music. Really helps us out. And of course, share this podcast with any of your friends if you enjoyed it. And thank you, guys. And until next time, peace out.
Talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.